We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Defeated Miami. There is no other time to do anything else. Wardenburg runs the baseline. He lets it fly toward the rim. It is tipped, and that's the horn. It's all over. Loyola of Chicago celebrates. Wild jubilation for Loyola. Desolation for Miami.
Pass in front of Shawnee. It's stopped by Adobin from Ekblad now in the right circle. Dadnall puts it in front, and they score! Aaron Ekblad got behind everybody. He's able to jam it home, and the Panthers have a 1-0 lead. The near side on a bank on the boards, taken by Dadnall into the offensive end. In front, they score! Nick Bukestad drives the net, gets a stick on it, and the Panthers have a 2-0 lead. Yandel backs across the blue line. Trocheck, right circle shot, he scores! Top shelf! Vincent Trocheck, a power play goal, and the Panthers have a 3-0 lead.
When I see you again, we've come a long way.
Yes! But also, no. So you had a little bit of both in there. Had the agony of Canes basketball, the ecstasy of big Florida Panthers win last night. It is the Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Friends, we're streaming all over the internet at WQAM.com on your computer or on your smartphone. You can get us via the two different apps, the TuneIn Radio app or the Radio.com app, however you listen. We appreciate your patronage here tonight. Get in via the phone lines at 305 or 954-567-0560 or via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Just please don't text and drive. Get us there at 56022. First text we get tonight, just to let y'all know, we, the South Florida fans, no longer care about the NCAA tournament since Miami lost yesterday.
Maybe you.
Well, okay, yeah, the South Florida fans who are not Gator fans.
You know, the best fans. I guess you take out the best fans, you know. I guess it's all right then.
We've got a Gator fanboy, young Biff, producing on the other side. There will be a Biff connection here tonight when we start our movie and TV brackets. I'll just give you that little hint that Back to the Future is going to make an appearance tonight. But no, I mean, I think that, okay, assuming you're a Miami, University of Miami fan listening, then yeah, obviously you still may have some things at stake with your brackets unless you had Arizona winning it all. You're still trying to win your pool. You're still going to be watching some of these games. But yeah, overall, if you're a Miami fan, a Miami basketball fan, the passion that you have now for the NCAA tournament has been completely zapped. And I'll go one further, because I don't think that the majority of Miami Hoops fans, because most Miami Hoops fans are probably Miami football fans who have just sort of by association also become Miami Hoops fans, that your real passion is for football. And since you root for that university, you've also fallen in love with Jim Larrañaga and you've started supporting the basketball team, but it's not really your bread and butter. So I think this goes just farther than South Florida, you know, Miami basketball fans not caring about the tournament anymore now that the Hurricanes have been balanced. I don't think that the recovery time and the mourning time from fans has lasted very long. I think most of you all have just moved on with your lives now, right? And I think it's because Miami basketball is not embedded in your soul the same way that Miami football is, right? And I know that these two aren't directly correlated because one of them is a field of 68 and the other is a field of 4. But if the Hurricanes football team was in the college football playoff and they lost their first round matchup, we would be dissecting it, complaining about it, picking apart everything that went wrong, trying to figure out which players should lose their scholarships and which assistant coaches or head coaches should lose their jobs, and we would be harping on it for weeks. Or, much like we did for months, or in my case, decades, after the Ohio State loss in the Fiesta Bowl, we'd be complaining about the officiating if that was a factor. That is a deep burn. That's a deep sting when the Miami Hurricanes football team suffers a tough loss. I would venture to say that most of you have probably already kind of shaken it off and you're just moving on to the next thing. right? And I know we had a lot of this talk yesterday. God, what the hell was Lonnie Walker doing? You miss a free throw that could have helped ice the game. You committed a really bad turnover, dribbling it off your leg. And we've spent about 12 hours banging our heads into the wall and wondering, oh, does this mean Lonnie Walker should come back for another year of seasoning? Spoiler alert, it's not going to happen. He's going to go pro. He's going to go pro, Lonnie Walker. I'm not expecting to see him back next year. And I think Bruce Brown is going to go pro as well. So the Hurricanes will have to do some rebuilding a year from now. And you wonder why Miami could make so many mistakes, because that was my big takeaway from yesterday. It wasn't just the fact that Loyola beat Miami, because I had been told for 5 days that was going to happen, or 4 days, by every so-called college basketball expert who somehow became an expert on Loyola Chicago basketball. And you saw how efficient of a shooting team that was. I thought if Loyola was going to beat Miami, they would beat Miami because they were shooting lights out, not shooting 38.5%. I thought if Loyola was going to beat Miami, that Loyola was going to really shoot lights out and take it to the Hurricanes. Instead, the Hurricanes gave it to them. It's not to say Loyola didn't play well. They showed a lot of poise, especially in the first half when they led most of the way. But if Miami doesn't commit 16 turnovers and make boneheaded play and miss boneheaded free throw after boneheaded play, and it wasn't just Lonnie Walker, there were a half dozen other guys who made mistakes yesterday. He just happened to make the mistakes latest in the game when they appeared to count the most. But what bothered me about it was that it wasn't just Miami, or it wasn't Loyola really taking the game to Miami. It was Miami giving the game away to Loyola late. But yeah, I would think that, you know, that most of you out there, you don't have that same sort of passion for Hurricanes basketball that you have for the football team, and you've probably moved on from it mentally, and you're ready to talk about spring football. You're ready to talk about the quarterback competition. Nakosi Perry, Malik Rozier, Cade Weldon, Jaren Williams, the freshman wild card. Spring football starting next Tuesday. You've probably moved on mentally to that. And I just wonder if we're going to reach a point, whether it be with Jim Larrañaga, you know, because who knows how much longer he coaches. Will it be another 2 years or another 7 years? Whether it be with Larrañaga or with the foundation that Larrañaga is establishing, if we're going to reach a time 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that you're going to have the same pain after a tough Miami hoops defeat that you feel after a tough Miami football defeat. Most UM football fans don't even know we have a basketball team, a texter writes. Yeah, you still think it's when the 80s, when they didn't have one. Another texter writes in, great call. Great call out. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, and whoever wrote that text in, great call out, that's me. You're probably one of those guys who was just losing your damn mind yesterday, because I saw the texts that were coming in during the game. I was logged onto the text machine. And you know that the most passionate listeners are the ones who text in during a game broadcast, because theoretically, nobody's reading those, right? Because when we're doing a talk show, we've got the text machine open, we're reading the text on the air, we're answering the text. You know, when we have a play-by-play, when we have a Hurricanes game or a Panthers game on or a Dolphins game on, you know, the play-by-play announcers probably aren't reading and answering the text because they have enough other things to do. It's not really part of their program. So the listeners who will write in angry text messages during a game broadcast, those are the hardcore listeners. And I bet you were one of those people, sir, who was losing your damn mind when Lonnie Walker was losing the damn basketball down the stretch. Oh, man. So, yeah, and I saw Mark Hochman tweet this earlier today, and I couldn't agree more. I had kind of joked on the air last night that, you know, because I was on right after the Canes game, right before the Panthers game, that maybe a big Panthers victory can erase my bad feelings about Canes basketball and kind of save the evening for me. And the Panthers couldn't have played better than they did last night. Yeah, I talked about it I mentioned it in the update that you had a perfect goaltending performance at the BB&T Center from James Reimer, who on his birthday, 30th birthday, stopped all the 46 shots that he faced, 20th career shutout. Panthers beat the Bruins, which are a very tough team. I know that they were shorthanded by some injuries, but a very tough Boston Bruins team. The Panthers shut them out 3-0 yesterday. And as happy as I am for the Panthers, who are right on the cusp of a playoff spot, you know, they're right there behind the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have played three more games than the Panthers have. The Panthers are right in there competing for a playoff spot. I'm very happy for them, but at least for me, it didn't erase the sadness of what we saw from the Panthers yesterday. Here's a quote that I like going over to the NFL for a second, new Dolphins guard Josh Sitton, I'm going to have a lot of fun covering this guy. There's always, like, every year you get a new player in the locker room, and I've been covering the team, covering practices for the last couple of years, and it's like every year you get a new face in there, and I realize from day one, from their media conference call, from their introductory remarks, I'm going to have a lot of fun covering this player. Last year it was William Hayes. William Hayes, who's still a Dolphin, thank God. William Hayes is the guy, the veteran defensive end, who doesn't believe in dinosaurs, yet he somehow believes in mermaids. And as soon as I was given that information that, oh, the Dolphins are getting this guy from the Los Angeles Rams in a trade who doesn't believe in dinosaurs yet somehow believes in mermaids, I knew we were going to have fun with that guy. And, you know, we had a couple of great conversations with him early in the year. And then later in the year, he kind of shut down on the whole dinosaur mermaid talk because he felt like he'd gotten it out of his system. So last year it was William Hayes. This year it's Josh Sitton. So Josh Sitton, who is, I think it's a great signing. He's going to play left guard for the Dolphins. And do not expect him to move over to right guard for two reasons. Reason number one, Sitton, in all of his wisdom, and I appreciate this, has declared that he thinks he could be a really good mentor for starting left tackle Laremy Tunsil. That the two of them playing on the same side of the line, he thinks he can, that some of his knowledge and techniques can rub off on Laremy Tunsil, which I think is important, because if Laremy Tunsil showed you anything last year is he could still learn some things and he could still use some seasoning, right? Like the same way he played very well at left guard 2 years ago with Brandon Albert mentoring him, maybe he needs now that mentorship when he's playing left tackle and Josh Sitton is playing left guard. But then the other reason why Sitton is going to be your starting left guard and do not expect him to play right guard. And he was asked this question today because, okay, you've had some of these guys come through over the last couple of years, these versatile guards, the Ted Larsons or the Jermon Bushrod types who were willing to play anywhere. Coach, anywhere you need me, you know, the Jake Brendel types. You need me to play left guard, right guard, center. I can try a little bit of that. I'm versatile, move me around. I'm going to do whatever I can to help the team. Whereas Josh Sitton, and I don't take any offense to this. Like, I'm not saying he's not a team player. He's not willing to move around. I think Josh Sitton just realizes left guard is where I'm at my best. So he was asked today, would he consider moving to right guard? And he said, well, and I'm going to censor this a little bit so I don't get myself in the station in trouble. But Sitton, when asked if he can move from left guard to right guard, said, well, that would be like trying to wipe my bum with my other hand. Not the exact word that he used, but yeah, that would be difficult, right? If you're right-handed, you try to do the wiping with the left hand, probably not going to go so well, and vice versa. It's sort of a change of instincts and a change going from the dominant side to the less dominant side. So that'd be like wiping my bum with the other hand. I appreciate that from Sitton. I appreciate the honesty, I appreciate the creativity, and I appreciate the candor. And we're going to talk with Omar Kelly in about 10 minutes here on the radio station. You know, I'm coming back. This is my first week back from my paternity, which means this is my being here is not only a thing I really enjoy doing, talking to you guys on the radio, but it's also my escape from a crying baby at home. But I had been out for a couple weeks, so I haven't talked to Omar Kelly in at least 3 weeks. So we will break down the free agent and trade comings and goings with Omar Kelly coming up in about 10 minutes. But we'll take some calls in the meantime. Let's talk with Loso. You're on WQAM. What's up, Loso?
What's going on, my brother? How you doing?
How you doing, sir?
I'm not too good, man. I'm kind of like, I'm probably like in the low percentile of the people that you're talking about, man. That, you know, I follow the college basketball. I follow, you know, the Hurricanes basketball a lot. And yesterday, man, it just hurt me so much because, you know, the fact that we lost, I can, you know, I said that we were going to lose, so I'm cool with that. It's how we lost.
But let me ask you, though. Did you say that we were going to lose because you were kind of hoping that would create like a reverse jinx? Because I do that sometimes. I think my team's going to lose, and then when they come out and win, it's like, oh, well, what a pleasant surprise that they beat Loyola Chicago. I do that all the time.
Nah, I do as well, but not this particular time. The reason why, man, is because that the way we've been losing. Like, the team is good, but if you think about it, like, we lost to New Mexico State. We lost to Georgia Tech, just the team that we lost to.
Right.
And it's like we always play down to their we always played down to their level, and it just never made sense to me, you know? And it just hurt me so much that I'm like, you know what? And then if you look at ESPN, they actually picked us to lose, and that's when I said, you know what?
Yeah.
We don't have a chance. And we was on the upset alert. So it just, you know, I kind of called it from there. But also the way we lost. That three-point shot, and I think you can agree with me on this, that three-point shot is going to be on every ESPN show from here to the end of the tournament. You know that.
Yeah, you know it's funny because you always see this, and it usually doesn't happen to your team, but you always have those memorable first-round moments, right, that are going to be played for the next 2 weeks all over ESPN. Like, that was one of those memorable first-round moments. Like, I'm not going to say it was Hale Flutie caliber, but it's kind of in that conversation. Right. Like, that's going to be one of these great tournament moments that people talk about, and it happened to be the moment that killed my team.
No, and true. And now imagine if Loyola Chicago, whatever the name of it, I hate them now.
Me too.
But imagine let's say they make it to the Final Four. Let's say they get lucky and maybe even make it to the finals. That's all they're going to talk about. That's all they're going to talk about. And it's like what happened with Lonnie Walker when the guy was trying to foul him. It's like that never happens. Like that never happens. It just happened to my team. It hurts, man. It really do.
It does.
It's kind of hard to get over. So I haven't watched ESPN, and I'm done. But one more thing before I go. Listen, what's up with the podcast on the website?
A lot of people ask that. So, okay, here's what you got to do, because when you go to WQAM.com, for a lot of people, it still takes you to the old site, the CBS Miami site. We're no longer affiliated with that, but it's like stuck in your browser. So the first thing you got to do is clear your browser history. But and for those listening, if you don't feel like doing that or it's a pain in the ass, you can always get us at WQAM.radio.com. So WQAM.radio.com is the new site. But if you clear your browser history, then WQAM.com will work. I know it's confusing, but it is what it is, and it worked for me. First couple days when we switched over to the new site, I was getting the old site, and then I was told to clear my browser history, and it worked.
I'm losing my mind. I'm talking to them a picky, you know, work nights, man. So you guys give me through the night. But listen, man, much love. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man.
Monday, my brother.
I appreciate it, Loso. I appreciate it. And also, let me ask this, because I've heard people say, Miami fans, that, you know, since Loyola Chicago, they're the team that knocked out Miami, that you're now rooting for Loyola to make a deep run. Like, that's kind of the move here, right?
I'm not sure about that one.
Because I heard Loso say that, you know, now he really hates Loyola. And so I'm guessing he's probably hoping that, you know, Loyola gets bounced, you know, the round of 32. But I don't know. Like, I'm thinking if that's the team that knocked my guys out, at least allow them to validate themselves and say, you know what? Miami lost to a really good team. Like, this was not just a fluke. This was not just a terrible performance. Like, Miami lost to a team that's actually a worthy Cinderella.
Well, were you waiting for Clemson to win a national title in football this year? Because that'd be almost the same situation. Because in a sense,
I was, because I hate Alabama.
But were you really rooting for him or no?
I was. If Nick Saban hadn't been involved, then I would have strongly considered rooting against them. But that's the thing. Like, my hatred for Saban trumps anything. Like, I probably would have rooted for Florida State against Saban, as crazy as that may sound. Like, that's a really tough one there. But yeah, man, I think that my hatred for Saban is more than my hatred for Clemson. Plus, to back up my argument, after Clemson, you know, dominated Miami again, you know, it wasn't quite as bad as the 58-0 from a few years back that got Al Golden fired, but it's pretty close to that. I was saying, you know what, if Clemson can do that to Miami, I want Clemson to show they can do that to anybody. And then whatever the name of that Hawaiian quarterback was stepped up. And
Tua Tagovailoa.
Thank you. I knew Tagovailoa, I think is what it was.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I just know Tua.
Tua Tagovailoa. But we'll talk more Dolphins on the other side. Oh, Texter writes in, Donna, you have to clear your browser cache. Not your browser history. I have no idea what the difference is. But
honestly,
okay.
Some people should probably just clear their browser history in general. We'll probably save them.
Believe me, I got rid of some embarrassing stuff in there. You don't even want to know.
I probably don't want to know, Dono, honestly.
Sorry, bring it up. Omar Kelly's going to join us next. Radio.com. Radio.com. Hey, all guests appearing on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM appear on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. We bring in Our good friend Omar Kelly covers the Dolphins in the NFL for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar Kelly is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar, I missed you, man. It's been a few weeks. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Donald?
How's the baby? Oh, he's great, man. You know, I haven't had anything close to a full night of sleep in about 2.5 weeks, but that's what I was expecting, so I won't complain about it too much.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's no harm in waking up every 3 hours.
Right, exactly. Like, I have to be on his schedule now, definitely. And listen, he seems like a strong kid, Omar. He's already at 2.5 weeks. He's moving his head around. He's jerking his body around. I feel like he's going to end up being a very early crawler. So we'll probably have to start baby-proofing the house way earlier than we thought we would.
Well, that's always a good thing. You want early, not late.
Exactly. Omar Kelly joining us. Now, Omar, obviously, since I've been out, a lot has changed with these Miami Dolphins. The roster is barely recognizable at this point. Mike Pouncey is the latest to go. Let me start here, Omar. Who's the biggest star on the Miami Dolphins? Is anyone worthy of that title, biggest star on the Miami Dolphins roster?
Well, it's got to be Cameron Wake. I mean, he's a Ring of Honor worthy kind of player, and he's still playing pretty good football. I'm not sure he's the Pro Bowl every down, you know, destroyers man kind of pass rusher that he once was, but I definitely think he's a very talented and accomplished football player, and I'm excited to see him eventually end his career with Miami. He's positioned himself to do so, considering he about this time every year he always extends his contract one more season. So that to me is, you know, he's a star. Cam's still a star.
And Omar, I'm wondering if you've heard from Mike Pouncey, because I remember him being a little cross with you at the end of the year because you had written you'd written a story with like the biggest questions the Dolphins would have to answer in the offseason. And you wrote about, you know, Mike Pouncey's salary, pay cut. Do they keep him on? He seemed very offended by that, Omar, when you're doing your job. Did. And it turned out you were right.
Oh, you know, one of the very uncomfortable and difficult parts of this job is to get football players to understand that this is a business. You're not a team. You're not a family. This is a business. And ultimately, they will make business decisions, and they'll show you. Now, Mike Pouncey's always been a businessman, so I don't think that surprised him. But I don't think he liked the fact that, for once, he was in the category of on the purge list in terms of guys who could potentially be purged. And truth be told, just about everybody who I thought could potentially be purged, with the exception of Juwan Jage, has been purged. My calculations, based on what the Dolphins have done this offseason, just in terms of guys that were on the roster last year that are no longer on the roster now, I have $50 million.
Wow.
You've cleared $50 million. Remember when the Dolphins were, oh, man, so desperately, you know, going to be right up against the cap and struggling to make all these decisions and clear roster space, and oh my God, how are they going to do it? Well, you know, lo and behold, they're now, you know, they clear $50 million in contracts by cutting good players. And now the question is, are you replacing those good players with players that are going to make your team better, or are you just replacing those good players?
Well, and on that note, let's start with the offensive line, Omar. The subtraction of Mike Pouncey, but the addition of Daniel Kilgore and Josh Sitton at guard, do you think that offensive line is getting better?
I think it gets better from this standpoint. Your two young tackles, they are both experienced. They should play better. They're still trending upwards. And then Jesse Davis, who I thought did a very good job emerging as the starting right guard, he should get better in his second season. So those should be positive upswings. And then you've got the addition of Daniel Kilgore, who, you know, I haven't really looked at this film yet, so I can't really say I have an opinion on. And then Josh Sitton, who I do know from watching film and evaluating, is a very decent left guard. Hmm. So I think you've basically, now with the addition of Ted Larson, you've got three guys who can play pretty decent football in there at the guard spot, and then an unknown center. And, you know, based on what Dolphin fans think, you know, center shouldn't be important. So I think that they should be okay. What I don't like is the fact that you're pretty much losing your tone setter and Jarvis Landry. I thought Jarvis was the guy who sort of set the tone for the team and his toughness. And same thing with Jarvis, Mike Pouncey and Jarvis Landry. Two of your tone setters, they're kind of gone. And I really don't see that being easy to replace.
And, you know, we've seen it. We've seen the reverse happen before where, you know, Wes Welker goes from Miami to New England and becomes, you know, one of the best slot receivers ever. But what about Danny Amendola going from New England to Miami? Now, this is a guy, the underlying issues with him have been a lot of injuries throughout his career. But assuming some health, do you think Danny Amendola, can he be even a fraction as productive with Ryan Tannehill as he was with Tommy Brady?
I'm just going to be completely transparent with you. When I watched film, Danny Amendola was probably the third or fourth receiver in New England that I was actually worried about. You had Cook, you had Brandon Cook, you had Edelman, and then you had Chris Hogan. And then Danny Amendola, who did turn up in the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, props to him for turning up in the playoffs. And it's always an injury issue with Danny Amendola. So I think you've got, you know, what you've really done is between him and Albert Wilson, you have added four starting caliber wide receivers. And I think that that's important, especially when you factor in the injury history that Devontae Parker's had, and that your 11 formation, which is your three receiver sets, is your base formation. That's important. Now, the question is, how will it all work? Will they develop chemistry at Ryan Tannehill? Those are still to be continued, to be determined later.
Now, I mean, how much should fans read into David Fales re-signing? You know, he is the quote-unquote veteran backup at this point, but but does that at all affect Miami's willingness to draft a quarterback?
No, I don't think anything changes from last year when Dolphins signed David Fales. He's just basically a camp arm, a guy that they're going to take into if he impresses and he takes that next step, which, you know, he did last year, you know, then you'll feel bad about cutting him at the end of the year.
Right, right.
But I have a hard time believing that the Dolphins will not draft a young quarterback in this draft and draft them early. I don't know where they're going to draft them, but I definitely know that that's on the agenda of the team's to-do list.
Defensive tackle, Omar. I mean, obviously, getting rid of Ndamukong Suh, there were plenty of financial reasons for doing so. They would also tell you that there were maybe some locker room reasons for doing so. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but it is what it is with the narrative being weaved. But with the dust settling, with the Vincent Taylors.
That troubling narrative, boy, that thing just gets weaved all the time, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, how close to true is it, Omar? Because, yeah, I mean, obviously fans will point out you're getting rid of guys from a 6-10 team. What do you have to lose? But, I mean, you and I being in that locker room, I didn't see with my own eyes some of the issues being talked about.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, here's the thing. I find it hard to imagine or envision or justify or comprehend that the Dolphins would complain about Ndamukong Suh being a mercenary, being a loner, being about himself, when you knew exactly what you were signing to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were shocked about Ndamukong Suh being a mercenary or, you know, not exactly being a dynamic team leader, then you clearly didn't do your homework. Ndamukong Suh is who he is. He's a businessman in the NFL. And as I said, I think the biggest issue players have nowadays is they don't know that these teams view that this needs to be a business. So Dolphins made a business decision. Ndamukong Suh made a business decision and they decided to part ways. It you know, that's just the nature of the beast. I'm not making a big deal about who Ndamukong Suh is as a person or how great, you know, for the last 3 years, he's taken Jordan Phillips under his wing and brought him up there and to Seattle and trained with him. I guess that doesn't make him a good leader, right?
Nope.
multiple times during the season, you saw him hanging, on social media with, the young Vincent Taylor and Devon Godchild. Yeah. And, you know, doing charity events with them. I guess that doesn't make him a good leader.
I guess
the guy was voted a captain by his peers. I'm not even an Ndamukong Suh fan. But I just really object to the whole slander on your way out approach that this organization's got going on. Ndamukong Suh is who he is. He's a mercenary. He cares about the business. He cares about his paycheck. And you know what? If more players were like that, then you'd have probably have a better business agreement with these owners as opposed to these fake contracts and monopoly money deals that teams consistently give out.
Well, what do you think about Kirk Cousins getting an all-guaranteed money deal? Is that a one-off, or could this now become a trend, at least for quarterbacks to start?
I mean, players have to follow through with it. It can't just be one guy did it, you know. It has to be, you know, what people don't realize is that there isn't anything in the CBA about the a CBA being collective bargaining agreement in NBA contracts or Major League Baseball contracts that these contracts have to be fully guaranteed. It's just the culture of the league, and you have to work towards that. Now, this is a first step. This is the first time an unrestricted free agent got a fully guaranteed deal. 3 years, fully guaranteed. Now, the next big-time free agent, whether it be a cornerback or it be a defensive end pass rusher, they need to push the bar forward for their position. And soon enough, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, we'll be talking about a league where at least all of the rookie contracts, because those aren't even big money. Those are like, 4 years for $5 million. At least all of the rookie contracts, not the first round, get guaranteed. We just have to take baby steps in this league. And it's very sad and disheartening to see weeks like this where players sign contracts that they fully intended to committed to honor, but teams don't honor. And fans just say, oh, well, it was for the good of the team. Well, no, sometimes it's not. I'm sorry. The moves that you made about getting rid of Ndamukong Suh, Mike Pouncey, Jarvis Landry, none of those are for the good of the team. None of those are going to benefit you. None of those are going to make you a better team. But you know what? Teams justify the things that they do it from a business standpoint by saying, oh, it's business. Well, okay. Well, players need to make sure that they're about their business too.
Well, Omar, with so many roster changes happening and so many, you know, very important players getting moved or getting cut, I would kind of read into the lines and say that this shows me that Adam Gase is on a pretty long leash by ownership because, you know, I mean, next year, Omar, if the Dolphins were to go 6-10 again, isn't there a pretty built-in excuse? Well, we need a longer time to really establish a new culture. Is there, outside of like 0-16, is there anything Adam Gase can do next year to get on the hot seat?
I don't think he'll be fired no matter what happens next year. Maybe 0-16, but, you know,
right.
I just think, you know, they're changing this team. They don't want to call it rebuilding, but basically you looked at what you had last year and said, that's not going to be good enough to do what we want to achieve, and you're starting over. You can call it whatever you want, and I just wrote a column about that in the Sun Sentinel that's going to appear in the paper tomorrow. It's online now, sunsentinel.com. But you can call it whatever you want, but you're starting over.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an entirely different team. Some of the pieces will be the same, but it's going to be an entirely different team than what they put on the field last year. Now the question is, can it produce a winner?
He is Omar Kelly, covers the Miami Dolphins and the NFL for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Omar, thank you so much as always, my friend, for the time. We'll talk again next week.
All right, talk to you later.
Good stuff there as always from Omar. If you missed the interview, we'll have it posted at WQAM.com or WQAM.radio.com. If you haven't cleared your browser cache, you can find it there as well. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour when we come back. Now, Floyd Mayweather, money, is back in the news. And maybe you should be a little bit more concerned at his decision-making because I think that his latest venture is pretty damn bad for his brand. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on WQAM.
Radio.com.
Yeah, any time that Floyd Money Mayweather says something ridiculous to TMZ, like you can't tell with this guy whether it's just nonsense to keep his name in the news, because that's what he's in the business of doing. It's how he built his brand, keeping his name in the news cycle. Is it just that, or is he actually serious? Because listen, I thought I thought when they were talking about making the Mayweather versus McGregor fight, before they ever signed the contracts, they were talking about it going back and forth for the better part of a year. I always thought it was nonsense. They're just trying to use each other's names to stay in the news. It's never going to happen. And then lo and behold, it happened. So the latest is Floyd Mayweather told TMZ he's going to begin training soon for a transition into mixed martial arts. The retired boxer confirmed that he's been in contact with UFC welterweight champion Tyron Woodley, who I think is going to join the show next week to talk about that. And Floyd claims that the two will work together in the near future. Woodley also mentioned the possibility earlier this month. Mayweather said, "I'm going to start soon. We've been texting back and forth. We talked a couple times, so we're going to work it out. We're going to start working out really soon." Now, there's only one reason for Floyd Mayweather to do this. There are millions of reasons, and that's money. Like, that's the only reason you would do this. At 41 years old, to be arrogant enough to think, no matter how great of a boxer or an athlete you are, to try and make that transition and learn all of those other disciplines to be competent enough to compete against UFC-level fighters, to be arrogant enough to think you can just do that and be successful at 41 years old is astounding to me.
Or midlife crisis. You know, crazy
it could
idea.
Be. Just, bro, get another Bentley. But he probably already has like 30 of those. So that's old hat for
he
him.
He gave his son a Bentley. No, was it a Bentley or was it a Bugatti
golf
cart for his fifth? Golden.
A golf
solid
cart?
Solid gold Bentley golf cart for his car. That golf cart probably costs 10 times more than my car does.
Oh, I just broke the microphone. You see, I broke it off the mechanical arm.
He literally broke it off. Jesus, Dono. Oh, my God.
And it was my fault because I was trying to tighten it because I could see that it was a little bit loose. I just broke it all the way.
Are you going
to
blame that on Luca?
Well, yeah, the lack of sleep that I have from having a 2.5-week-old at home. Yes. That's like my built-in excuse. It's my built-in anything I do wrong for the next couple of weeks. Well, yeah, I got an infant at home. What am I supposed to do? But no, listen, because Floyd Mayweather.
Maybe you're the infant. I don't know. You kind of broke stuff.
But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on this, because obviously, at this point, you know, if he stays retired from boxing at 50-0, there's nothing you can do if he never actually fights in the boxing ring again. There's nothing you can do to take away from his boxing legacy. I get that he'll still go down in history as one of the best of all time, best defensive fighter of all time. But, I mean, for Floyd Mayweather's personal brand and personal pride, if you get into the octagon and get your ass beat, which is what should happen unless he really fights a tomato can, isn't that embarrassment probably not worth the effort and the paycheck you're going to get? And to think at 41 years old, you can just make that switch and make that transition, even for Floyd Mayweather Jr., this seems ridiculous. And normally, listen, if I came across this story a year and a half ago, I would say he's just flapping his gums. There's nothing happening here. He's just trying to keep his name relevant. But after Mayweather versus McGregor, it kind of leads you to believe that anything is possible with that guy. 7 o'clock hour, the Alex Dono Show coming up. In the 7 o'clock hour, we will get down to business on our movie and TV March Madness bracket. Since the Canes are out, we got to focus on some other things, my friends. Keep it locked here to Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly!